Our sermon reading this morning comes from poet Philip Booth, who was a Unitarian Universalist. First lesson. Lie back, daughter. Let your head be tipped back in the cup of my hand, gently, and I will hold you. Spread your arms wide. Lie out on the stream and look high at the gulls. A dead man's float is face down. You will dive and swim soon enough where this tide water ebbs to the sea. Daughter, believe me, when you tire on the long thrash to your island, lie up and survive. As you float now, where I held you and let go, remember, when fear cramps your heart, remember what I told you. Lie gently and wide to the light year stars. Lie back, and the sea will hold you. The words of Philip Booth. If you are searching for God in Scripture, but struggling to get closer to the divine, perhaps it's time to put down your books and take a walk in the woods. If you are devoting yourself to doing good and serving others' needs, but you're finding yourself exhausted and burned out, then perhaps it's time to meet your own needs as you have met the needs of others. If you are searching hard for a spiritual practice, but not connecting to what makes you feel most alive, then maybe, just maybe, it's time to do what you love and discover there what it is you seek. In our story this morning, in our story of the wandering teacher, the teacher offers this very wisdom to those who come seeking her guidance. Sometimes in our searching for community, for God, for justice, we need to adjust our spiritual practice. Sometimes we need to change up our approach and our expectations. This can mean letting go a little and loosening the grip of expectations. It can mean learning to expect surprise. It can mean learning to be more trusting of our place in a larger and interconnected web of existence. Unitarian Universalist and lawyer Adam Gerhard Stein learned about adjusting expectations through broken expectations. For him, this had to do with reclaiming his beliefs. He describes how, as a child, his family called him the Count. They called him this because he counted things. He counted all the sanctuary lights in the church, cars passing on the other side of the road as they were driving, birds that were eating out on the deck. And sometimes he would announce what he had counted to his family, how many birds there were on the deck, for example. And he came to wonder if anyone even really noticed. He wondered if making these announcements even mattered. And somewhere along the line, he started to doubt that he could have any kind of impact on anyone else by what he was announcing to the world, by what he was counting. And Gerhard Stein says this. He says, "I'm having a spiritual crisis. I am losing my grip on my expectations. At first, I thought my life had become too segregated. I was simply surrounded by too many people like me. But I think the problem is deeper. I believe that every person is capable of love and greatness, but somehow that belief is not informing my expectations. I have been hearing a lot of statistics lately. I have been hearing percentages of homes that are owner-occupied, percentages of students who are English language learning or receiving free and reduced lunch, rates of diabetes and obesity among poor people, different health outcomes for minorities and single-parent families, rates of incarceration for young black men, and that there is something called an achievement gap. I hate that there is an achievement gap," he says, "but I fear that I have come to expect it." Gerhardsen's spiritual crisis eventually led him to embark on a spiritual quest, and his quest was to reclaim expectations, a different sort of expectations. He discovered that he wanted his expectations to match his beliefs, because as much as he believed that every person has the capacity for greatness, he realized that he did not have the same expectations for everyone. He didn't have, he says, the same expectations for what a middle-class white kid from Southwest Minneapolis and a poor black kid from North Minneapolis could do. The statistics, he knew, supported his broken expectations. But Gerhard Stein decided to choose his beliefs as a guide instead. And for him, that meant believing and expecting that everyone has the potential for love and greatness, even in the face of the statistics. Sophia Lyon-Foss says, "Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies." Gerhard Stein became determined to expect more. He reclaimed expansive beliefs and widened his expectations, and that makes greater space for greater sympathies. Sometimes, like Gerhard Stein, we need to hold on to those expansive beliefs by letting go of some expectations, by reclaiming our beliefs. Sometimes we just need to let go of expectations. Alice Walker, a wise wandering teacher herself, advises, expect nothing, live frugally on surprise. That's exactly the lesson that Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Robin Tanner found that she needed. Tanner learned that her expectations are wholly insufficient. And an experience showed her that sometimes it's wise to expect nothing. And here's her story that she shares. She says that she was traveling to Pennsylvania from New Jersey. She was traveling with a friend. They both had their toddlers in the car. They were going to visit a crayon factory. Sounds like fun, right? The traffic was bumper to bumper, not so much fun. And Tanner noticed a minivan approaching too close to her bumper. And she had to hit the brakes because all the cars were slowing, and the car behind her then inched even closer. Had this experience, right? But then the honking began, she said. And then the minivan moved between lanes toward the lane beside her. And Tanner was preparing herself for what she thought was going to come next. And she says this. The minivan approached. I could see the man had rolled down the window on the driver's side, and his arm was already out of the window. I braced myself for a gesture. As the car passed, he made a peace sign and shouted, "Justice!" The man was smiling broadly. I raised my eyebrows in complete confusion, she says. What the heck? It took my friend to remind me that I was driving my wife's car with a Black Lives Matter sticker. Sometimes people surprise you. Isn't that delightful? Sometimes people and communities and life surprises us. Sometimes we need to be surprised. Surprised out of our self-defeating and other limiting expectations. When we focus our expectations too narrowly, we can squelch the possibilities. Even our own beliefs. We can limit growth and grace and love and greatness for ourselves and for each other. We can shut ourselves off from what we can't even yet imagine is possible, such as someone driving behind us and applauding, well, honking, in support of our deeply cherished values. Liberal religion, our religion, reminds us of the need we have for high expectations and the need we have to lie back. On the one hand, liberal religion emphasizes the power that we humans have to give shape to our own reality. Our actions and our expectations, they shape how we see each other, how we see the world, how we see ourselves. This is the reason our religion teaches us to be engaged, to participate as fully as we can in creating a world that is good and kind and blessed. It's why we encourage participation so that we can ensure that there's justice and love and fairness and dignity for everyone. We are called to live these values and these beliefs in our daily lives, allowing them to be our guiding principles. And yet, our religion also teaches us to be open, to learn to let go, to lie back and trust. Our human striving can be exhausting. Have you been there? And sometimes it gets in the way. We are not in control of everything. We are not in control of everything. We know that, right? But so often we behave as though we are, as though we can force our needs, our desires, our wishes, and that will make everything okay. Sometimes we forget that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. Sometimes we forget to think a little differently. I love these words of Robert Bly, the American poet, essayist, and activist. He says, "Think in ways you've never thought before. When someone knocks on the door, think that he's about to give you something large." Now, I want to pause there, and I just want to challenge you to think about what you think might be something large that someone who's knocking on the door might give you. Here's what Bly says. When someone knocks on the door, think that he's about to give you something large. Tell you you're forgiven. Or that it's not necessary to work all the time. Imagine that. Or that it's been decided that if you lie down, no one will die. The wise words of Robert Bly. This means we need to allow ourselves to trust life and to create space for experiences of that transcending wonder and awe that we talk about, for mystery to arrive, for whatever or whoever comes knocking at the door, and even to approach our experiences of pain and our disappointment with an open-heartedness, never knowing where they may lead. In fact, some of the most meaningful experiences that we will have will be the ones we never anticipated and didn't make happen. They will be the ones we might not have even wanted. They might be ones we resisted mightily. They might have been ones we tried to slam the door shut on. The spirit, the muse, serendipity, the universe has a way of showing up for us if we let it. And part of our spiritual practice is to learn to make space for what shows up. When I go to the beach, one of the moments I most cherish is when I'm coming to that crest right before you can see the water. You know that moment? I love that moment. And I can see the sky, you know, because the sky seems like it's like forever at that point. And the sands beneath my feet. And I know the water is there. It's right there. I can hear it. I can smell. I can smell the salt, right? I can see the gulls. And then there's that moment when I take that step, when I can see the water. And I like to pause then, there on the threshold of an encounter with the ocean, with that sacred source of life. And no matter how many times I reach that moment and I look out there on the ocean, it never, ever, ever fails to surprise me. Never. Because the ocean is not predictable. life is not predictable, as much as we think it is, as much as we try to push and pry it into just what we think it will be or ought to be. Life, like the water, is ever shifting in color and shape and texture, size of swells in roughness and calmness. Life, like the water, is ever calling us to adapt our expectations, raising them or releasing them. Ever calling us to balance what we know with what we have yet to learn, to balance our striving with trust in something greater than ourselves. To know we are the ones we've been waiting for, but we are not the only ones. To know that life, like the water, is ever calling us to move past, through, with our struggles and disappointments toward healing and toward wholeness. In the words of our chalice lighting this morning, may the time we share today make space for greater expectation. May the truth we learned yesterday be changed by what we hear today. May the fear that seems so certain be loosened by a newfound trust. May our doubts and our disappointments be replaced by an ever-unfolding faith in more beauty, more trust, more joy, more goodness, more life. As a people of expectation, may we be called into an ever-unfolding openness to the forces that create and uphold life. May we be called to answer yes. Yes to life. To say yes to life. To say yes to truth and to love and to beauty and even to struggle. To remember that, as Philip Booth offers as a first lesson, that when fear cramps your heart, lie gently and wide to the light year stars, lie back, and the sea will hold you. May we set our hearts to building a better, kinder world, and also to trusting that none of us needs to do it all ourselves, nor can we. If we were to loosen our tight grip on our expectations just a little, who knows what surprises might greet us? Perhaps that might be the greatest expectation we can have. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.